So this is the Christmas without the things. You know, the things and the stuff and the things. That's what I've been calling this year. There is no filled sanctuary. There was no printing of 350 bulletins. While some of you at home may be donning your gay apparel, most of you probably are in your comfy clothes with a cup of tea or a glass of wine. There was no real decking of the halls here because the halls have been empty for a while. Work parties were muted, if held at all. There was no festive and slightly chaotic children's program because most parents have been keeping children close and keeping the rest of us safe. This is the Christmas without the things, but it is not without the light. This is a Christmas without all of the things, and without all of the things, God still shows up in the unexpected dark places. A light shines. And that is exactly what happened in the story long ago. There was no inn to sleep in, but only a barn, a stable out back. The child was not welcomed with fanfare, the fanfare of an organ boom. The announcement of the angels didn't go into festive castles or ornate religious communities, but it went to the outcast and those dirty shepherds in the fields. The announcement wasn't given to those who were already in charge, like Herod, but it was given to the magi, the wise people, the outsider, the traveler, the seekers, the ones that perhaps were wandering, but not lost. The baby wasn't welcomed into all of the things. The baby was born into a family without all of the things and still loved and received. And God showed up. In the way that God does, lifting the lowly, surprising us and showing us what is of value and worth. And God does that again for us this year. The God of our lives has never been a God who sits apart on high, but a God who is intimately with us, filling our lives and our world where the empty spaces are for Christ to make a home. And so tonight, we gratefully welcome God into our cracks of sorrow, our areas of loss, our gaps of isolation, and the pauses of quiet, the interludes of silence. In this sort of a hiatus of Christmas, the Christmas without all the things, we can more readily see where Christmas is still waiting to happen. A poem by Gerard Kelly says this so clearly. He writes, "Outside, a vacant hillside lies silent, strangely empty of any angel's choir. A stable waits for bookings at the inn to multiply. Distant kings study charts and keep gifts in cold storage, while shepherds plan their memoirs in expectancy of an unexpected fame and keep a chapter free for miracles. A small velvet patch in the black night sky stands ready to hold a newborn star. And oppressed people everywhere cling wildly to the prophecy and song and whisper the word Messiah. They've switched on the lights in Oxford Street, counting off the buying days like guardsmen on parade. Shops are stocked and standing by, revving up the engines of their debt-powered swiping machines, and history watchers mark another year in the slow count to 3,000. But here, an old man lies in the stairwell where he fell 3 days ago, and no one knows. A girl loiters in the street's unholy halo to sell the only thing she owns that men will pay for. And here, an infant sleeps on the floor, on a sack on the hard floor, where even a mother's hand is empty. And there are places where Christmas is still waiting to happen. So tonight, let us welcome the Holy Child into the broken places of our world, where Christmas is still waiting to happen. Where the vision of Isaiah 9, where the people walking in darkness have seen a great light, those who live in the land of deep darkness, on them a light has shined. Where Isaiah prophesies of the removal of the yoke of burden and the bar of oppression, where the vision of liberation has yet to become a reality, Christmas is still waiting to happen under bridges and in food deserts and in jobs without a living wage. Christmas is still waiting to happen to the child in foster care and the child trafficked in India or in China or in the USA. And because the din of the season is so muted this year, because this is the Christmas without all of the things, we are offered the opportunity to be able to see the light of love shining in the darkest places, in our own lives and in our neighbors, because we are in a posture to see them. We may be able to see the light shine in the clear cracks of our relationships exposed during this past year of hardship. We may be able to see our selfishness and pride illumined by the generosity of a child in a manger. We may see enlightened the cavities of poverty and injustice that have been made so clear in our country and around the world by this pandemic. Because the light has exposed all of the harsh and broken places, we must now carry the light of Christ into the barren wilderness of our world. We bid the light of love to shine in the highest places of power mongering, whether public or private, and into the deepest places of injustice. We, my friends, must be the beacon. We are the light. In a few short minutes, we will light our candles. May you take a moment to stare at it, and then hold it high and let it lead you to those dark places, because there is no place where God is not already there. There is no person for whom the light is not available. There is no hole so deep that the light cannot shine. In the words of theologian, educator, and civil rights leader Howard Thurman, "I will light candles this Christmas, candles of joy despite all of the sadness, candles of hope where despair keeps watch, candles of courage for fears ever present, candles of peace for tempest-tossed days, candles of grace to ease heavy burdens, candles of love to inspire all my living, candles that will burn all year long. So may the light of this Christmas, during the Christmas without the things, inspire us without fear to journey into the darkness and give us courage to keep the candles burning all year long.